Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And this morning we are going to be looking at an extremely practical and encouraging passage of Scripture. If you're joining us this morning, I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're looking at verses 13 through the end of the chapter, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. I'll begin reading. But I would have you not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, I absolutely love this passage of Scripture, and I'd like to begin with a simple summary statement of the passage, and then let's get into what is a really practical and also a doctrinally rich passage of Scripture. Our summary statement for 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 is that the sorrow that Christians experience at the death of another Christian is not meant to be like the sorrowings of the world, because the gospel gives us an eternal confidence. Let me say that again. The sorrow that Christians experience at the death of another Christian, it's different than the sorrowing of the world around them, because the gospel gives us eternal confidence. And so I'd like you to kind of think about that in your minds as we dig into this passage. And let me share with you a couple of things I observed as I was reading this passage and reflecting on it today. The first thing that I observed was that Paul wanted the church to have a correct doctrinal understanding of the resurrection, so that they would not have sorrow like the world around them at the death of another Christian. And one of the things that these believers were going through is there were people that were disrupting their confidence in the resurrection or disrupting their understanding of the resurrection. Remember, this is a church that's going through a lot of suffering. They're being pressured by false teachers and they're experiencing persecution. And one of the things that's really detrimental to the well-being of the church is that false teachers start giving ideas that start shaking their confidence and their understanding of what God teaches about what happens to a person who's trusted Christ when they die. And so in verse 13, he says this, I would not have you to be ignorant. In other words, I want you to know the truth. I want you to understand what God's word says about this issue. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And that's a reference to those who are Christians who have passed into eternity. They're now with the Lord. He says, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Now, please don't miss what Paul's saying and what he's not saying. Paul's not suggesting that when a Christian passes away, those who love that individual, those who are close to that individual in this life, will experience no pain and no sorrow. The truth is that death is a very difficult thing. Death is painful. The separation between us and our family members, it's a hard thing. And Paul's not downplaying that at all. What he's doing is he's emphasizing the fact that though we sorrow, we don't sorrow in the same way as people around us who don't know the Lord. In other words, we don't sorrow as those which have no hope. Our sorrow as Christians at the passing of a dear member of our family, our church, maybe a close associate or friend, the way that we sorrow, it's different because of what we know about the resurrection. Verse 14, he says this, for if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's saying, look, the reason that we don't sorrow as those which have no hope is that we understand the doctrine of the resurrection. We understand that Jesus died. 3 days later, he rose again. We know the story of Lazarus, how Jesus came to that tomb after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus told Lazarus's sisters, he says, "Do you believe that I'm the resurrection and the life? He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me, that they'll live forever." He's saying, do you believe these things? In other words, what we believe about the resurrection of Christ has implications on how we relate to that experience of being at the passing of a friend or family member who knows the Lord. The second observation, Christ is coming again, and it could be within our lifetimes, and we should be living as if it could happen at any moment. Now, this passage does not tell us the exact moment that Christ will return. In fact, it doesn't even give us the exact moment that Christ will return in relation to the discussions on eschatology, the tribulation. Does he come before the tribulation, at the middle of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation? To answer that question, we have to look at a lot of other passages. This passage is not meant to get into that discussion. This passage is meant to encourage us with the reality Jesus is coming again. And he could come again today. He could come again at any moment. We need to be living as if he will return today. And this is meant to encourage us. Verse 15, he says, "For this we say, by the word of the Lord." Jesus taught what I'm about to remind you of, Paul says. He says, "We which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep." In other words, Jesus is coming again, and it could happen within our lifetime. There will be a generation of people living on this earth. It could be our generation, it could be our children, it could be our grandchildren's generation, but there will be a generation living when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so he's basically saying Christ is going to he's going to come back, and we need to be anticipating his return at any moment. A third observation that really is kind of part of what Paul just said is that Christians who die before Christ's coming and Christians who are living at Christ's coming will experience the same resurrection. So if I die before the rapture of the church, or if I'm alive when Christ returns, it really doesn't matter in relation to whether or not I'll participate in the resurrection. If I've died at that moment, I will receive a glorified body. If I'm living at that moment, I'll receive a glorified body. At that moment that the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to take his children to be with him, and we'll experience what the Bible calls the resurrection. He says in verse 16, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In fact, it's interesting. If you wanted to say which group of people will meet the Lord first, which one will receive their glorified body first, technically it's those who die. In fact, the scriptures tell us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so all of your friends and family members who have gone on into eternity, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're already in God's presence. They're experiencing communion with God. But at this moment in time, we all will get to experience that as well. And we will all receive that glorified body as well. Verse 17, he says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." In other words, at that moment, we will all be reunited and we will be with God. And he says in verse 17, "We shall ever be with the Lord." That is the reason that Christians, when they sorrow at the passing of someone who they love dearly, who is a believer, that's why our sorrow is not without hope. In verse 18, he tells us the resurrection is meant to bring us comfort when we sorrow. He says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, as a pastor, I've done several funerals. Funerals of people who unquestionably loved Christ, we're believers and are with God today. And I will tell you that at those funerals, I experienced an unbelievable, bittersweet tension of emotion. The bitterness of seeing the pain that godly people were experiencing in that moment as a family member has died. And it's a time of tremendous sorrow, a time of loss, a time of just this feeling of emptiness. And you could see that. And you even experience it yourself as you're relating to the family. But at the same time, you feel this tension and this understanding that that person who has died is with God. And not only is that person with God, they're rejoicing in his presence and will forever. And we, who are also believers, are going to get to meet them again. And then we will be able to experience eternity together again with God. That is a sweet comfort. And so we have this tension, this conflict between the bitterness of pain, and pain of death, and the hope of the resurrection, and the confidence that we have that we're going to be with the Lord. And so his point is, in your sorrowing, there's hope. There's encouragement. Comfort people with these words. So you ask, well, what are some practical implications that we should take from this passage that can be an encouragement to us this morning? And when I think about it, there are some wonderful practical implications to what we've just learned this morning. The first is this. I need to think correctly about the resurrection and its realities, or it won't comfort me the way that God intended it to comfort me. Folks, if I've trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and another person who's my friend or my family member has trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, then we have a guarantee that these verses are going to take place exactly as God said. Whether I have confidence that they will, whether I understand what they will or won't, it doesn't actually impact the fact that it's going to happen. In other words, if God's going to do what he says he's going to do, whether I understand it or not, it doesn't change its reality. But it does change how that reality comforts me, how that reality encourages me as I walk through situations. And so it is so important that we understand the resurrection, because by understanding the doctrine, not only do we participate in it down the road, but we are comforted by it today as that we anticipate that day. A second practical application is that the death of a Christian is painful for family and friends, and we shouldn't downplay that reality with this passage. You know, when a person's grandfather, father, mother, wife, child, when a person's dear friend passes into eternity, we as God's people should never say, well, you know, you'll see him again. It's not that big a deal. Folks, let's not be insensitive when another person is suffering. Another person is sorrowing. Death is a painful reality. But there's a second aspect to that. This sorrowing experience at the passing of a Christian is not without a confident anticipation of being reunited with this person in glory. In other words, I sorrow, but that sorrow is coupled with joy. That sorrow is coupled with hope. That sorrow is coupled with comfort. And this is not, I hope, maybe it happens, I stick my head in the sand and I try to bury the pain that I feel. That sorrow, real sorrow, is coupled with real hope and real anticipation of one of the most tremendous blessings we experience from the gospel. Number four, the sorrow experience with the passing of a Christian, coupled with this confident anticipation of being united with him in glory, is one of the most compelling practical implications of the gospel. You know, when we think of the gospel, a person who has trusted Christ as their Savior, and they've sinned, and they go to 1 John chapter 1, and they read where it talks about the fact that we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and they feel this overwhelming sense of peace as they confess their sin to God, and they recognize that fellowship is restored with God. That's an implication of the gospel. When there's a person that's wronged me, and I'm willing to forgive them, and I'm willing to forbear, and I say, because Christ has forgiven me, so I forgive them. That's an implication of the gospel that I'm experiencing. You know, when I think about the various ways that we can be comforted and encouraged by the gospel, I'm convinced that there's probably no greater way that you and I can be encouraged by the gospel than this passage right here. The fact that we sorrow at the passing of a friend is not without hope. And so we sit down and say, because Christ is risen, my friend who has trusted in Christ is with God. And not only is he with God, or she is with God, but I too, a Christian, when I die, I will be with the Lord as well. And we will be reunited, and we will be in his presence forever. There's no greater implication that I can think of practically than that right there. And the world around us doesn't have that hope. They don't have that confidence. They cannot have that kind of a stability in the midst of that kind of hardship. The last thing I'll mention is this. I need to live every day with a hopeful anticipation of Christ's return. You know, he's coming again. It could be today. We don't know. We should be living as if Christ returns today. And so I hope that those words will be an encouragement to you. I hope as you have the opportunity to go back over this passage, that some of the things that we've been able to look at and share will be a blessing to you. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, it's been so good to come to one of the most encouraging passages in the Bible. Father, comfort people with these words in a time where there's a lot of fear, a time where people are thinking about the reality of death, and some have experienced the difficulty of a friend or family member passing into eternity, even within the last few weeks or months. I pray that these words would comfort every Christian, that they would instruct us, and that we would live in the light of them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see some of you out this morning. I hope that you'll take a moment to look at the rest of the video if you missed it, and perhaps share it. And I think that these words will be a tremendous encouragement to you. Have a great day now.